Good afternoon. Morning. Good day. It is a good day. Hallelujah. Beloved, I'm always amazed, amen, every time I read it, at what the Bible calls the elementary doctrine of Christ. The elementary doctrine of Christ. Hebrews, starting in chapter 5, verse 7, and going on through chapter 6, verse 3, reads this way. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard for his godly fear. And although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And, being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. But about this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's word. You need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He is a child. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, instructions about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. This we will do if God permits. And then skipping down to verse 9, the writer of Hebrews says, Beloved, we are persuaded of better things for you. Amen? Things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you minister to the saints and continue, yes, to minister. We desire that every one of you shows the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And that's kind of a hard word to hear sometimes, amen? We can see the same sort of thing happening in churches nowadays and today sometimes, and it's nothing new. It's always good to read the Bible and realize that many of the things that are going on in churches and that we're going through as society now is truly nothing new. The elementary doctrines of Christ being commonplace in most of the churches. Amen. And Paul, and the writer of Hebrews, continued to encourage the churches, even back then, to grow up from the elementary doctrines into maturity. You see, the thing that amazes me is how the things that the Bible calls elementary doctrine, amen, elementary doctrine, repentance from dead works, faith in God, the teaching of baptism, the laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. These are the things which the Bible calls basically first-grade Christianity. That amazes me. The things which are preached over and over again in 90% of the churches today, the Bible calls elementary doctrine. As if they are new and exciting and leading to growth and maturity. Amen? But this is supposed to be the milk of the Word. In short, it's no wonder that the church and the nation and the people are where we are right now. Powerless and defeated and worldly. For modern American churches are being run by children in the elementary doctrines of Christ. You see, again, as it was back in the time of Romans, it seems that the elementary principles of the Bible have become deep philosophical insights. You know, there is nothing wrong, amen, there is absolutely nothing wrong with celebrating the fact that Christ died for our sins and we now receive salvation through his name, amen? But people who've been saved for 20 years sometimes act as if it's the first time that they've ever heard this message. Repentance from dead works. In some churches, faith in God can be a year-long study program. Baptism teaching can become so complicated that churches only hold baptisms once or twice per year. And the fact remains, beloved, that many Christians have no idea concerning the purpose of laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, or what will happen during their eternal judgment. Many Christians, despite the fact that the Bible calls it elementary, amen, still have no idea what any of it means. But beloved, here, amen, I'm not going to teach much on these elementary doctrines today. I will touch upon it, as every message should have some milk and some meat in it. But however, beloved, in this congregation, we should know that 2 + 2 = 4. Amen? This is the easy stuff that we as a Christian body, if we're reading the Word as basically as a first grader is expected to read his homework, we should understand in its own basic form with the Holy Spirit as our teacher. I mean, we expect a first grader to read their homework, right? In this church, we expect each other and we hold each other accountable to read the Word of God and to know the Word of God, to know that 2 + 2 = 4. And so let's just touch on these things just in case we have a little milk and a little meat in this message. Repentance from dead works, it's found in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Amen? The faith in God is written about in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Baptism is taught in Acts 2. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The laying on of hands, Acts 8. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Concerning the resurrection of the dead, Matthew 22, Jesus himself says, as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read which was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. If you are more interested in the resurrection of the dead, you can also see 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through the end. And of course, concerning eternal judgment, we have Romans 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen? And so, beloved, if God is speaking to you now through this, you are well to listen. Me? I am not speaking to anybody specific here. All right, we are all called to examine ourselves in the mirror of the Holy Spirit and determine where we are in our own Christian maturity. Today's message, as we begin, is to help understand where we are in our own walk, our own individual and corporate walk in Christian maturity. Hallelujah. Amen. What is meant by the phrase Christian maturity? Well, basically, it means the same thing spiritually as we mean physically in age maturity. The difference is, in spiritual Christian maturity, age has nothing to do with it. We have some young folks in this congregation who exhibit more Christian maturity than I've seen demonstrated by some of the most celebrated famous evangelists or preachers. And praise God for it. Amen? So the question is, beloved, where are we? Where are we together and individually with our level of Christian maturity? And, you know, I believe many would say, if I were to ask, you know, and you can think of it in your own heart, where are you in your level of Christian maturity? Take a moment. Because I believe that many would say, well, I don't know. Truthfully, yes. I've been a Christian for a long time. I believe in Christ. I read the Bible and I go to church, right? But beloved, none of that has anything to do with Christian maturity. Christian maturity is outlined. It's outlined in 2 Peter. And so let's just start at the beginning, verse 1, and go through verse 12. 2 Peter verses 1 through 12. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them, that is to us, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. How do you get grace and peace in your life, beloved? Multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, by these we are given exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. This is a good word. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And here we go. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He has forgotten that he has purged from his old sins. So the rather, my brothers and sisters, give diligence to make sure your calling and your election. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, be established with them today in their truth. Amen. There's a wealth of information here, both from the top layers, and deep down into the layers underneath. Right? But you see from the beginning where it all begins. Right? The elementary principles. The elementary principles. It begins. Repentance from dead works and faith in God. We see it right there in verse 1. To them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Faith, beloved, is elementary. Faith is an elementary principle in the kingdom of God. Faith is where you start, born again, as a baby. When we go to verse 5, where Christian maturity begins with faith, giving all diligence. And some translations say it this way, make every effort. Do we make every effort? Do we give all diligence? The Greek translation literally means with all earnesty and haste, add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to your knowledge temperance. And to your temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, agape love, or true love. Amen? Add to. Yes? Awesome. We're going to lay it out, my brother. I'm glad you're here. What does virtue mean? We'll get to that as we get past faith and into the rest of them. Hallelujah. Amen. Because unfortunately, the doctrine of many churches today is that we just skip right to godliness from faith. Amen? The flock then is left to figure out all the steps in between by themselves. That's right. This list of the steps towards Christian maturity, beloved, it should be a welcome thing in our Christian life. Right? Because how many times have we cried, I want to know you better, Lord. I want to know you better, Lord. There's a step to get to knowledge. Amen? Faith. Add to faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Oh, if I want to know God better, maybe I should go back and practice faith and virtue more. Amen? How many times has someone cried, give me patience, Lord. I need more patience. Add to faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control comes patience. So many Christians want to go from faith to godliness, but that's like giving my car keys to Joshua. Amen? That's like giving the keys to the car to a toddler. Just like the steps of growing up, we are babies when we come to faith. We become toddlers as we add virtue to that faith. We grow into children as virtue turns into knowledge. We become adolescent when we learn self-control. We become more like teenagers as we add patience in. Young adults, godliness. Adults, brotherly love. Mature, true love, agape love. Just like a baby cannot skip to being a teenager, a Christian cannot skip from faith to patience without first going through virtue, knowledge, and self-control. So we go back to our first question then, beloved, because it's not about going to church. It's not about believing in Christ. Amen. Where are we in our Christian maturity? Where are we individually? Where are we corporately? It depends on where we are on this list. Right? So today, in order to help us individually discern where we are on this list, it is appropriate to understand faith, virtue, knowledge. It's appropriate to understand God's meaning of these words that we think we know. Amen. But indulge me. We won't dwell upon all of them or their basic meaning. We won't indulge upon the milk of these words. I think we know. But we will chew on their meat a little because that's what we like to do in this congregation. Because even the beginning, the elementary, even the first grade word, faith, even our beginning doctrine, do we really understand what that means? Do we really understand what faith means? Many would say, faith is, I believe in God. Amen? Yes, ish. Right? But concerning faith, in James it is written, you believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. You see, beloved, faith is more than belief. This is what it says in Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance and evidence. Faith is not just a belief. Faith is a thing. It is an action. As it is written in James 2, faith, if it does not have works, is dead, being alone. Amen? A man might say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And I love that. I love that when the Bible says, will you know? Will you accept this? Will you get this? Will you put away your own belief? Will you put away your own thoughts? Will you know, O vain man, what these things really mean? In order to grow, in order to be a better Christian, in order to love God more, in order to add virtue, in order to know God more, amen? In order to grow in Christian maturity, will you know that faith without works is dead? Yes, faith is also belief. For we must believe that God is. Amen. God is. God is what? God is. He is I am. He is who he says he is, that he can do the things that he says he can do, and that he will do the things that he says he will do. Faith is belief. But faith is God is plan A. There is no plan B. Amen? Faith is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But be it known unto you that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up, even if he does not. Faith is Elisha, who took the yoke of his oxen and slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of his oxen, and gave them unto the people so that they ate it. Amen. That, beloved, is no plan B. Right, when you take your job, Elisha used to plow the oxen behind, and Elijah came and threw his mantle upon him, and Elisha went, and he took the ox that he plowed behind, and he killed them, and he cooked them, and he served them to all the people to eat. And then he went and served the Lord. That is plan A with no plan B. That is faith. If your faith, beloved, is not an action put together with your belief, then, beloved, this is where your Christian maturity is stuck. In the elementary stage. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Add to faith, then, virtue. See, we talked about faith requiring action with it. Beloved, Christy, my brother, virtue is the action which faith requires. The Greek arete, virtue, means moral goodness, excellence, modesty, and purity in thought as well as in deed. Philippians 4:8 reads, finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think upon these things. Think on these things, beloved. Virtue starts in the mind, and it manifests itself through actions. Proverbs 23, for as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Proverbs 4, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. And from Jesus' own lips, Matthew 15, these things which proceed from the mouth come from the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, lies, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Virtue starts in the mind. Virtue starts with the thoughts. Virtue is how you think, and it manifests itself in its actions. The things which you plant into the soil of your heart are the things which will bear fruit. The seed that you plant in the soil of your heart. You see, the heart doesn't care. Soil outside doesn't care what kind of seed falls into it. Whatever seed falls into it is what's going to grow. Amen? The soil is not a discerner of the seed. If a beautiful tree seed falls into it, a beautiful tree is going to spring up. If a weed falls into that soil, a weed is going to spring up. Your heart is the same way, beloved. Your heart is the same way. It doesn't discern what seed comes into it. Your mind and your thoughts discern what kind of seed you put into your heart. If you allow evil imagery, if you are listening to unholy sounds, if you are frequenting battlegrounds of immorality and enjoying their pleasures, you are sowing bad seed into the soil of your heart. And the fruit you bear will bear witness of that. Beloved, sin is not harmless fun. It is sowing bad seed. A little bit of porn is not harmless. A little bit of drugs are not harmless. Dwelling upon offenses and envyings and covetousness and gossiping and lies and unholy thoughts. Beloved, a little bit of it, none of it is harmless. Remember, Adam and Eve only took a little bit of an apple. Amen? And the entire world suffered for it. The ground was cursed. All of humanity was cursed. Sin entered the world. 2,000 years later, rain came upon and destroyed the earth. All because of a little bit of apple. Amen? Sin, even a little bit of sin, is not harmless fun. It is bad seed. It is sowing bad seed into your heart, and it will produce fruit of unrighteousness in your life. Beloved, rather, as the Word says, sow good things into your heart, that you might produce the fruit of the Spirit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Amen? Beloved, if this speaks to anyone, rejoice. Rejoice. The Word says rejoice, because you don't need to stay stuck in virtue immaturity. Today is the day that all these things can change. It's your choice. It's our choice. Amen? Today is the day that all that can change. If you are putting bad seed into your mind, into your heart, through music, through TV, through video games, through whatever it might be, rejoice. Today that can all change. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue in them, and if there is any praise, beloved, think on these things. And now we know. Now we know. Amen? Add to virtue knowledge then. So many Christians want to know God better. I want to know God better. You want to know God better. We all want to know God better. Amen? But we haven't gotten past the virtue parts. Beloved, how can we know God better if we are not thinking His thoughts, if we are not seeking Him in the manner which He has given us, the Word of God? This is what He has given us. This is why the instruction and understanding of virtue is so important. Because if our minds are consumed with the thoughts of this world, where is there time or room for the thoughts of God to exist? The two will not coexist. Yes, I used that word purposefully. Coexist. The two will not coexist. Paul spent entire chapters of letters imploring the church at Corinth to understand this principle. Again, as we read, it's not unique to our churches today. From the very beginning, these things would creep into the church and into the minds of the people. And the Word of God continued to implore, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Paul writes, you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. For what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement does the temple of God have with idols? You are the temple of the living God. Because God has said, I will dwell in you and walk in you. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Rejoice. Therefore, come out from among them. Sanctify yourselves. Be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I love this. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Do you want to know God? I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. You see, beloved, we have to get past the virtue part, the mental block, in order to gain knowledge, because it takes diligence and discipline and desire to manifest itself. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, beloved, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. That's us, that's you. The honor of kings is to search out the things in this word. Amen? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Beloved, are you a king or are you a fool? Choose life, choose death, right? This word knowledge is not like a first grader understanding his multiplication tables. This is more like a master architect's understanding of geometric nuances. All right? This Greek word, gnosis, described by Strong's as the deeper, more perfect and enlarged knowledge of Christ, such as that which belongs to the more advanced, especially things lawful and unlawful for Christians, moral wisdom, listen, which is seen in right living. That's the Strong's definition, and I want to let that last part sink in for a moment, okay? Because it is powerful. Knowledge that can be seen in right living. Just as you can see a master architect's knowledge of geometry in his structures, a Christian's knowledge of God's ways should be manifest in his living. Knowledge that you can see, amen? What does that mean? Knowledge that you can see. Always hand in hand, mind and body, amen? Faith and works, thoughts and deeds. The Bible is always very clear. If this and this do not match up, then you are simply deceiving yourself. What goes into this and comes out of this will manifest itself in this. Because knowledge produces self-control. You see how this is all connected, how it's all perfect, amen? Intertwined one into another and into the next. Faith produces virtue. Virtue produces knowledge. Knowledge produces self-control. So, beloved, by now, I can start wrapping this message up. Because truly, if we've gotten this far, if we've gotten this far to self-control, and I honestly believe that most churches are stuck somewhere between faith and virtue still, but if you've made it all the way to knowledge, the Lord's word is your teacher. Not me. You can read all about self-control as defined as the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. It is found in fasting. It is found in controlling the tongue. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And self-control then leads to patience. Hupanome. The characteristic of a man who is not swerved by his from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Now, very likely, beloved church, if you've made it this far, this one is the next great mountain to climb. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, amen. Patience is a doozy. Patience is a doozy. All right? If you've progressed past faith and virtue and knowledge, self-control is kind of a resting place, a place to catch your breath before patience. Because patience is the enduring and the persevering through trials and sufferings. Patience is not what you think it is. It's the supernatural ability to endure suffering. And beloved, like I said, it's a doozy. It's a mountain. This is the tough one, amen? Because the supernatural ability to endure suffering comes from suffering, amen? So I am going to be very careful here. I'm going to tread lightly. because there's a lot going on with patience. There is no single instruction that can be given. Amen. To each his own, to find his focus with patience. I can advise you of two things. One, if you're going through a trial or a suffering, I advise you to learn your lesson quickly. Amen. Remember your faith if you are going through a trial. God is your plan A, your plan B, and your plan C. Lean on the Lord, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Beloved, if you are going through a trial, if you are learning patience, if you've made it this far, his word is full of encouragement for those who are going through trials. John 16:33, Romans 5:3, Romans 12:2, 2 Corinthians 1-4, and many more. The second thing that I can advise you, if you are not currently in a trial, do not desire one. Amen?
Amen.
For Jesus truly said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. It will come soon enough. Trust me. Your time will come. Even still, pray as Jesus taught us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The word that Jesus himself used and taught us to pray is the word parasmos. Okay? Its meaning is a trial or a proving. We read, lead us not into temptation, and we think about like the temptations in the desert or something. It's a different word. This word temptation is a trial or a proving, an adversity, an affliction, a trouble which is sent by God serving to test or prove one's character, faith, and holiness. The same way that God tested Abraham with Isaac. Amen? Jesus instructed us that we can pray this, lead us not into these types of trials and tribulations and suffering. Amen? Truthfully, we are taught by Jesus to pray that we might escape some of the trials and tribulations and sufferings that are common to all mankind. And we will leave that at that. Now I've got a feeling that if you endure patiently to the end and you add to your patience godliness, then it's all downhill from there. Amen? I mean, you're on your way to maturity. Hallelujah. Uphill. Well, downhill makes it easier. You know? I think the uphill climb goes all the way to patience, and then, oh, man. So this is where I'm going to leave you for today, beloved. For godliness is a mystery between you and God. For it is written without controversy, right? Without debate. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Lastly, beloved, I encourage you to carefully heed the things which you have heard today. For this message given to me to give to you by the Holy Spirit comes with the promise of Ezekiel. See thou, O son of man, I have set you as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. But he who takes this warning will deliver his soul. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. It's amazing what is laid out in your word. if we would be not fools, but kings, and search these matters and study these matters and move on from milk to meat, move on from immaturity to maturity and perfection. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your care and concern in each and every one of our lives. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for each and every one of us here, myself included, and all within the sound of the voice, Heavenly Father, Lord, the Holy Spirit would mirror us, show us where we are on this list of Christian maturity, O Lord, and encourage us to grow past and grow forth into godliness, into brotherly love, into agape love, into places, Lord, that we could only dream of. Babies can only dream of driving cars, and kids who are driving cars can only dream of having families and the whole nine, Lord. Maturity as we grow, Heavenly Father. Give us all those things. We receive all those things that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.